This is episode 28 of Everyday Wellness, Supercharged Strategies for a Better Brain with Leslie Bumpus. I'm Dr. Kelly Donahue, clinical health psychologist, here with my co-host, Cynthia Thurlow, nurse practitioner and functional nutritionist. Our goal is to share easy strategies to help as many people as possible become healthier. You can help us obtain this goal by leaving us a rating and review on iTunes. The process takes just a few minutes, and we really appreciate it. Leaving a review helps our podcast show up when others search for podcasts on health and well-being. We are so grateful that you are here and for your willingness to leave us a review. Now, let's get started. Welcome to Everyday Wellness. Wellness is the result of the decisions that you make every day. It's your mindset and the thoughts you believe. Wellness is the food you put in your body and the relationship you have with yourself and others. Wellness is your work and meaning. Join us on Everyday Wellness as we explore ways that you can choose wellness today.
Today we have a real treat. We are actually going to be interviewing Leslie Bumpus, and she is a certified nutritional therapy practitioner and a founder of Redeeming Wellness. She's also a world traveler. She was just telling me all about her wonderful trip to Europe. As a founder of Redeeming Wellness, Leslie helps women identify the underlying causes blocking their well-being and teaches them how to nourish their bodies. As a functional nutritionist, she educates her clients on what's going in their body that's causing their signs and symptoms, and by addressing the root cause of their health concerns and introducing simple, targeted dietary and lifestyle modifications, women are able to shift the terrain in order to help bring them resolution and start feeling better. Welcome, Leslie.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
I know that you have a lot of interest, but I think what I know our listeners would really love learning about, because we're all about healthy aging and being as proactive as we can be to ensure that we age gracefully and healthfully. But the emphasis, you know, when I was looking at statistics on, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's is really staggering. And so I would love for you to, you know, share with our listeners what initially got you interested in this particular area and, you know, ways that you help support your female clients and their families.
Sure. Last year, I was rounding out the fall with a couple of extra trainings. And you know, we love to learn new things.
Yes.
And I sort of promised myself not another class. But I kept getting this flyer from the Institute of Functional Medicine, the IFM, about Dale Bredesen's groundbreaking book, The End of Alzheimer's, that outlines his RECODE protocol. And I had a couple female clients who I think, you know, the Lord just puts in my path, who said within days apart of each other, Leslie, I'm really worried about my brain. My mother has Alzheimer's. My grandmother has Alzheimer's. One of these particular clients had suffered a stroke. So all of a sudden I was thinking, wow, this is my age group. This is my tribe where, and we had a friend whose husband got diagnosed at 60 with Alzheimer's. So I looked at my husband and I said, I think I need to know about this. And he said, you're right. This is really the age and the thing that's happening. So I went to Miami last year and became certified as a RECODE practitioner. And you're right, the statistics are staggering. 65% of all patients with Alzheimer's are female. 60% of the caregivers are female. You know, and why is that? So it was just interesting the way that, and immediately when I came back, I had people saying, hey, my husband just got diagnosed at 57. You know, it is going to be one of the healthcare crises that can bankrupt the country, because it definitely bankrupts families. The care can become so intense and so financially draining, and it's emotionally draining, and it's just real sad. So the bottom line, with according to Dr. Bredesen, is that it really starts in our 30s and 40s. So there are things that we can do now. This is what I try to address with my clients. I have a list of biomarkers. I know exactly what to look for so we don't go down that path.
And it's interesting because I find that most people in their 30s and 40s, they're just, you know, they're knee deep in caring for their children, mm-hmm. and they're, mm-hmm. Escalating responsibilities at work, and they're just trying to, you know, compartmentalize and get through each week. And they're probably not even considering some of the, you know, environmental as well as personal care and lifestyle choices that are impacting their brain health. And it's interesting because I have a fairly new client. She came to me over the summer, and one of the things that she identified after working together for a few months was that, you know, she had a parent that had been impacted by dementia, early onset dementia, and she was very concerned about the influence of estrogen. Mm-hmm. Declining estrogen, mm-hmm. and its impact on brain health. And so we together have kind of been exploring ways to, you know, first determine what, you know, what direction she needs to go in. And then also, you know, considering what ramifications this has for her long term. But I'd love to hear, you know, kind of your process, whatever you're comfortable sharing. Sure. You know, what are the things that you really look at when you're trying to support your female clients?
Let me go back and just say that Alzheimer's disease is only part, the bigger umbrella is just called dementia. Mm-hmm. And Alzheimer's is a part of that umbrella. Also, other neurological diseases fall under that umbrella, including Parkinson's and Lewy body, which is what Robin Williams died from, or he was suffering. just had a smoothie go down the road. And so, my mother, and this is kind of my why, but in hindsight, I can see what was going on. My mother was raised in London during the war. She had a lot of trauma. I had to quit school at 12. Never ate anything green. I mean, never. Mm-hmm. Was a sugarholic. Came to the States and lived in Central Florida with my dad in the area where they sprayed for citrus groves, 24/7, exposed, wow, to pesticides. My mother, from my earliest memory, was always constipated, and self-issued enemas and things like that, always constipated, poor eater, and had a lifetime of trauma, or what you might even call her ACE score, mm-hmm. adverse childhood events. We know that ACE scores over 4 and 5 predispose people at a greater risk for dementia and Alzheimer's. Poor gut health, as it turns out. Mm-hmm. We know now because, and I'm sure you're aware of the microbiome and the gut-brain connection, that when we have an imbalanced gut, if we have terrible dysbiosis, it's giving bad signals back to the brain. Mm-hmm. So in hindsight, my why is that I don't want to go down that path. And I can see the convergence of the poor nutrition, the trauma, and the toxicity, the toxins, led to my mother's own version of dementia. Alzheimer's has, let's talk about the risk factors. Let's just say, okay, what puts you at risk? Mm-hmm. Insulin resistance. We know that blood sugar regulation is so important, and I know that's a big key in your practice. Mm-hmm. Actually, low cholesterol numbers. We forget that cholesterol is very protective of the brain. And Dr. Bredesen and Dr. Perlmutter and Dr. Amen and Max Lugavere and all those that are just all over the brain these days will tell you that people with Alzheimer's have very poor cholesterol scores. So we've sort of shot ourselves in the foot with all this statin business trying to protect our hearts.
Well,
and we've destroyed our brains.
Well, and I think back to, you know, obviously I had 16 years of cardiology experience as a nurse practitioner, mm-hmm. and, you know, the joke used to be, and I don't say this lightly, and I don't say this to be inflammatory, but the joke used to be we needed to put Xanax in the water supply and a statin because we believed it, or at least I believed fervently that, you know, everyone was anxious and everyone needed some anti-inflammatory benefits. And so at the time that I was initially prescribing them, you know, I definitely, you know, very much bought into, you know, that mentality. We want to reduce inflammation. We want to deal with plaque stabilization. And then we want to look at these numbers and, you know, the more aggressive we could be to shoot those numbers down. And I remember probably 10 years ago, I had a really amazing NIH researcher who was also one of my patients, and very, very intelligent woman. And she said, "Cynthia, I will never take a statin." And so I engaged in this conversation. I said, I would like to know why, and not to be, you know, critical. I just want to learn.
Yes.
And so when she explained to me what it did to the impact on the brain, it really shed a very different light on, you know, statin utilization. And yes, I understand there are some benefits, you know, post heart attack and in vascular disease from a Western medicine perspective, but we're not thinking about the downstream effects. And so,
exactly,
you know, from my perspective, when I kind of shudder, I remember reducing someone's statin because their total cholesterol was 100. And I kept saying to some of my peers that, you know, I understand, you know, morbidity and mortality go up if cholesterol is too low. And so I started really liberalizing dosages in most of my patients. And so, yeah, I think it's one of those misnomers that, you know, cholesterol is something that's necessary and vital. And certainly the downstream effects of its impact have profound impact on so many things. I mean, sex hormones.
I was going to say, when a doctor prescribes a statin to a man, he might as well go ahead and write this prescription for Viagra too,
right?
Because he's castrating the guy.
Right. And how and how many of my patients, I mean, that was the joke. So I started in cardiology at kind of the heyday of Viagra. And the joke was we could never keep samples because I'm quite confident my male peers were taking some home. But yes, I mean, it, you know, is it any wonder that that's been a boom to, you know, Viagra and Cialis and all these erectile dysfunction medications. But yeah, I just wanted to interject that you know, statins can really have a detrimental impact on your cholesterol. And, you know, looking at risk factors and even considering, you know, the blood sugar stabilization or dysregulation combined with low cholesterol. And I don't want to interrupt the rest of the risk factor profile that you were kind of identifying, but I wanted to interject that it's something so many of us are just not considering the downstream impact.
So another risk factor that actually also held in common with my cancer clients is low vitamin D. Vitamin D, as you and I both feel like, is more is such a synergistic, important vitamin, although we know it even functions more like a hormone. Mm-hmm. But people with Alzheimer's and dementia, just like in cancer, usually have their vitamin D levels below 30. I have several right now. I'm working with a couple women that came in with D levels at 25. And, you know, because they're thinking, I don't want to be in the sun and all those stories. So that's another risk factor. If you have a high A1C, if you have a high cardioreactive protein, your CRP numbers, those are inflammatory. Poor sleep hygiene. All of those years that people have said, I can get by with 4 hours of sleep and I can get by with 6 hours of sleep, really are not doing their brain a favor, because the brain needs that rest and restore time at night for autophagy, which is the cleansing and the waste product removal of the brain. What we're finding also is that toxic exposures, especially with mold, pesticides. I have a client right now who was unloading trucks up full of pesticides and fertilizers in high school. And, you know, hot summer absorbed into his skin. He has what we're kind of calling the type 3 Alzheimer's. And so let me sort of jump off there. Dr. Bredesen brilliantly has described Alzheimer's as 1, 2, 3, and actually 4, 5, and 6. But 1 is your kind of typical Alzheimer's. This is someone that may be an APOE4 genetic SNP. Number 2 is the what we call the sweet Alzheimer's, which is more of the when you refer to diabetes of the brain, you know, the type, that kind of thing, that we're talking about Alzheimer's as being diabetes of the brain.
Weight gain is one of many symptoms that our hormones are in decline, especially as we navigate perimenopause into menopause. Dr. Anna, who is a great friend of mine, is an OBGYN who's treated thousands of women just like you and I who experience increasing dryness and even pain in the bedroom as they get older. Jolva is the solution Dr. Anna formulated for her own clients, and it has since been loved by over 100,000 women. It's a feminine cream with DHEA that helps the body regenerate moisture from the inside out. 92.8% of Jolva users experienced a significant improvement in the first 4 to 8 weeks. Get 10% off your first purchase of Jolva by using the link dranna.com/Cynthia. That's dranna.com/Cynthia and get 10% off your first purchase. Today's podcast is sponsored by NutriSense. It combines cutting-edge technology and human expertise so you can see how your body responds to different types of nutrition, stress, exercise, sleep, and where you are in your menstrual cycle in real time. And by pairing a continuous glucose monitor with their app and expert nutritional guidance, NutriSense can help you reach your health goals. And the best part is it's not just a program where they send you the CGM and you have to figure it out on your own. Each subscription plan includes 1 month of free expert nutritionist support. Your nutritionist will work with you one-on-one, interpreting your data and providing customized advice to help you reach your health goals. The last time I had my CGM on, my registered dietitian and I troubleshooted over some specific concerns that I had. And whether you're aiming to lose weight, stabilize your energy, or just feel better overall, NutriSense offers the guidance and support you need. And lasting sustainable change takes time and can be achieved through a longer-term subscription. That's why I encourage my patients and clients to consider 3, 6, or 12-month subscriptions where it's actually less expensive and allows you to not only achieve your goals, but also to ensure that you stick to your healthy lifestyle for the long term. As I've mentioned before, I have found the CGMs I've used through NutriSense to be incredibly insightful, specifically to carbohydrate tolerance. I would not have known that plantains spiked my blood sugar without this information. It's also been hugely helpful for tailoring to workouts and sleep quality. And so for me, even though I am metabolically healthy, I find the insights to be particularly helpful to tailor my lifestyle changes to my blood sugar. Visit NutriSense.io/EWP and use the code EWP for $30 off plus 1 month of free nutritionist support. Be sure to let them know you're a listener of the Everyday Wellness podcast when they ask you how you heard about them. This is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health and one of my top recommendations for all of my patients and clients.
Three is what we call the toxic Alzheimer's. That's a much more difficult one to address, but it's not impossible. But usually there is some form of heavy metal poisoning, toxicity, mold exposure. And so that has a different protocol. And then the other Alzheimer's are the Parkinson's, ALS, Lewy body. And so what's interesting is that in the last 10 years, science has been looking at, and all the big pharmas and research has been looking at, what we call the accumulation of amyloid plaque in the brain. Mm-hmm. And the amyloid plaque has been seen as, up until now, a problem, that it's the cause of Alzheimer's. What we're finding now, unfortunately, Big Pharma has stopped funding a lot of those drugs. They've pulled them from the market because we're finding now that just reducing the amyloid plaque in the brain hasn't helped at all. And so the question came up was, what if amyloid plaque is actually protective? What is causing it to accumulate in the brain? And so scientists are now looking at it a lot differently, that perhaps it's the things that have crossed the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. And by the way, herpes simplex, the virus herpes simplex, which, you know, I don't know what the statistic is, what 80% of the population, mm-hmm. you know, has it. And it's in the background, it's dormant, but maybe something activates that. It inflames the brain. Mm-hmm. The brain responds by accumulating amyloid plaque. So Dr. Bredesen said, you know, we're never going to have a magic bullet. There's never going to be one drug that can do all of these things to address all these risk factors, including the low sex hormones and et cetera. So he calls it the 36 holes in the roof idea, that there are 36 identified so far, and there probably will be more, biomarkers that we can identify and say, okay, this is where your vitamin D needs to be. This is where your cholesterol needs to be. This is where your CRP, et cetera, et cetera. And once we've got all those addressed, and the nutritional aspect is pretty much ketogenic based.
Okay.
The brain loves glucose, but it also really works and functions more efficiently on ketones, mm-hmm. on fat. It's like the difference between, you know, a gasoline engine and a diesel engine. We can really go a long way in the brain on ketones. So what's interesting, and as women, Cynthia, you know, you and I started getting pap smears early in our life,
mm-hmm.
because you wanted to be aware of and prevent the idea of some sort of cervical cancer. We started getting our teeth cleaned because we don't want cavities. And at some point, as women, we started getting mammograms to have early detection of cancer cells. So the question begs itself to say, why am I not doing anything like that for my brain?
That's a great point.
Where's the, and as Dr. Bredesen calls it, a cognoscopy. Oh, and a colonoscopy. Yeah, somewhere in our 40s and 50s, they make us get colonoscopies.
And if you're really lucky like me with my family history, I think my dad had his first precancerous polyp in his 40s. So my brother and I started that process in our 30s. Yeah. Good times.
Exactly. And so why wouldn't we do that? Now, I know I've got a long road ahead of me in trying to inform women about the value of understanding and being preventative. And it's amazing how many of them really kind of go, gosh, Leslie, I don't want to know. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, wouldn't you want to know you had a cavity? Wouldn't you want to know you've got a cervical tumor? Don't you want to know you've got a breast tumor? We want to do something about it. So I do encourage my clients to get the 23andMe genetic profile. And I believe it's on sale, going on sale right now. So it's a great Christmas present to let us know if you have one of the biomarkers that I referred to earlier, the APOE4, if you're a carrier of two or three of those. It does predispose you to a greater risk of Alzheimer's. We don't have to turn that gene on, as you know. It's not necessarily your genetics. It's the lifestyle and environment.
Right.
So I've put together a biomarker list. It's blood labs, it's hormones, it's if we think it's necessary, we do a mold assessment of the house. I do a pantry clean out. We, you know, kind of the same thing that we do as nutritional therapists, get them to eat clean. So I have several female clients right now who know their risk factors, who have got crummy labs. So we're working on cleaning that up so that they don't end up suffering with Alzheimer's.
What a wonderful, and I actually, this was not on my radar probably because although we exist in that, you know, kind of female hormone space, I'm on one end of the direction, and I know you're paramount and focused on the brain, which, you know, I'm a huge believer in being a lifelong learner. So this is definitely, you know, kind of piquing my interest that it's clearly something I want to learn more about to be able to, you know, educate my female clients as well. But out of curiosity, so I know you mentioned the genetic piece. I know you mentioned some labs and you did kind of skim over. Is it really 36? You said 36 holes in the roof, which I love that. Is it actually 36 labs inclusive of the genetics piece or is it exclusive of that as well?
Oh, exclusive. So, yeah, the genetic component is just a small part of it. And there are several labs that I'm not licensed to run. So if someone really suspects they have a problem and they want to become a, they want to work with Dr. Bredesen's RECODE protocol, they find me on his website.
Okay.
And they can, RECODE has, can order a requisition, a complete set of labs. I just can't do like the MoCA score, the MCI. I don't run any of the brain cognitive type things.
Interesting.
Yeah. You know, it used to be the only way you could be diagnosed with Alzheimer's was after you were dead. It was
right,
an autopsy
exactly.
that saw the amyloid plaque.
Yeah.
We do now have PET scans and CAT scans, but they're pricey. And right now, some of my clients, as you know, you send someone, you get a client and she says, oh, I'm going to my OB-GYN this month. I'll get my annual and I'll bring you the results. And I usually have to say, that's great. But here are all the other biomarkers that mm-hmm. they usually don't ask for.
Right.
Or they skim over. So the labs we get are often very shallow.
Correct.
Or not comprehensive. But if the doctor is willing and receives my list, my more comprehensive list, then a client can see if it runs through their insurance and gets it covered. But I always tell people, I say, you know, at our age, I mean, I started saying this in my 40s, you know, mm-hmm. when the little girl behind the desk said, I don't know if insurance is going to cover your vitamin D levels. And I said, well, it's a pretty important number for me to know about. It's baseline. I'll pay for that. It was like another $25 or something,
right,
you know.
Right.
They don't understand. Why do you want your CRP? And why mm-hmm. do you want your A1C? And yeah, those are really important biomarkers. So we start that now, just like you would say, here were your mammogram results in 19, mm-hmm. you know, or 2017 or 2018. We can now keep an eye on those biomarkers, just the way you would watch your lipid profile.
That's fascinating. And yeah. it's interesting. I know that in cardiology, we looked at the high sensitivity CRP. I'm presuming that's probably the one
yes.
you look at as well.
Yes.
Yeah. And for anyone that's listening, the significance is that one is much more sensitive and specific. And so for us, that was, you know, years ago, how we determined whether or not we'd plop someone on a statin mm-hmm. who didn't otherwise have vascular mm-hmm. disease. I'd love to get your perspective. I know that I was sharing with you that I was knee deep in a hormone book yesterday.
Yes.
the controversy. T.S. Wiley, for anyone that's listening, you know, she has some very strong opinions. She's very articulate, very intelligent. I initially heard about her on a Bulletproof podcast and then kind of dove down a rabbit hole wanting to learn more about what she wrote about. And I know that, you know, hormone replacement therapy, whether it's bioidentical or synthetic, is certainly something that has some controversies. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to know your thoughts about bioidentical hormones as it relates to female brains as they age. Because I actually, after reading her book yesterday and doing a little bit of independent research, it really opened up my eyes to the possibility that there's more to it than what I had originally kind of conjured up in my brain.
Well,
so I'd love to hear your thoughts.
If you read her entire book yesterday, I'm in awe.
No, not. I read the bulk of it because
okay.
because most of it, here's the thing. Her books are very information dense.
Yes.
But I mean, half the book are references. So
that's true. But you know, that's what I loved about that. And the book that we're referencing mm-hmm. is The Sex Lies and Menopause.
Yep.
And the first half of the book is very interesting to me because it has all the historical references to mm-hmm. what happened when the female population was sort of blanketed with synthetic mm-hmm. hormones and the rise in cardiovascular incidences. And then sort of in a blanket move, everyone was pulled off of hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And again, a rise in issues. I personally am on bioidentical
okay.
hormones. My OB-GYN is a IFM functional practitioner, and
great.
She, you know, believes in what my group is called the whole healthy woman. I think every woman has the right to be healthy, strong, juicy, mm-hmm. vital, sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Suzanne Summers. You know,
yeah.
and I think estrogen has a key role in that.
Yeah.
The again, going back to either Dr. Bredesen or Dr. Perlmutter or Amy Barger. Have you heard her speak? She wrote the book, The Alzheimer's Antidote. She's an NTP.
I've seen some of her other work about the ketogenic lifestyle. And mm-hmm. I follow her on Twitter. Mm-hmm. She's very, very smart.
She's very smart, very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Her book, hers was the first book that I read about Alzheimer's. And I thought, ooh, this is dry. She's so smart. There was so much science. But to hear her speak changes mm-hmm. that. But Wiley's book really opened my eyes to a lot of the correlations about not having enough estrogen and testosterone and the impacts it has on the brain. So that's another one of those biomarkers that we do look at, that they, Dr. Bredesen and crowd, realized that the females in their practice had low hormones, low sex hormones, or hadn't been on sex hormones. And that begs the question, again, why is 65% of everyone with Alzheimer's female?
Right. Right. And, you know, the other thing is, are you employing the Dutch? What are you doing? Are you doing dried urine or saliva or blood tests for hormones? Just out of curiosity.
I have both. I have the BioHealth saliva, and I have been trained in the Dutch. Don't really use it as quite as often, but I'm open to it. And,
consuming Element on a daily basis is one of my favorite ways to take care of my health. And we know that by consuming proper amounts of electrolytes, it can contribute to quality sleep, which is critical to all of my perimenopause and menopausal patients and clients. We know that magnesium increases a neurotransmitter called GABA that is known for producing calming effects. And consuming adequate levels of sodium can help you sleep through the night because low sodium levels increase cortisol and adrenaline. Additionally, if you are intermittent fasting, it's important to understand that when you fast, two things can dehydrate you. Number one, if your insulin levels remain low, it can signal to our kidneys to excrete more sodium or salt, a process called naturesis. And as glycogen or stored glucose is broken down, the water left over from the glycogen breakdown is urinated out. So if you want to take care of your health in one of my favorite ways, you can consume Element electrolytes. My favorite flavors are grapefruit and citrus, but there are many others to choose from. And if you go to drinkelement.com/Cynthia, you can get a free sample pack to try them out on your own. Again, it's drinkelement.com/Cynthia for your free sample pack where you can try all of their flavors. Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoors and take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some circumstances, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And did you know that air pollution is responsible for nearly 7 million premature deaths globally? So what's the solution? I want to introduce you to a product by Air Doctor that has captured the attention of established media outlets like CNN, ABC, and more. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that have the potential to go on and make us sick. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day, breathe easy, money-back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use code Cynthia. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 in value. Look at this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Cynthia. I absolutely love my air filters. They're an integral component to ensuring that the air that my family breathes in our home is as safe as possible.
Try to get as much of the blood work done. As you know, as a restorative wellness practitioner, we do through Avexia, so I can order those. And I've just recently ordered the Great Plains kit because can't really do a heavy metals urine provocation test, again, outside my scope of practice.
Sure.
But I can do, they have a urine test for chemicals.
Okay.
In fact, I just ran one on myself, and I should be getting the results this week. I love to run everything on myself first, so I understand it.
So a guinea pig myself.
Guinea pig. One of the other really interesting labs that's very easy to do, it's an omega-3 index, and it's a finger prick. It's a little kit you do at home. You pick your finger, and you do the blood spot, and it sends off. And what comes back, Cynthia, is your ratio of omega-3s and omega-6s and trans fatty acids, very important that the brain get a lot of DHA and EPA, which are the omega-3s. And it's interesting, my as much supplements as my husband and I take, my omega-3s were still kind of in what we would call the yellow zone. I wasn't quite in the green. Now, my trans fatty acids, of course, were I had perfect status because I don't let that stuff in the house. No canola oil here.
Yeah, oh gosh.
And my 3-6 ratio wasn't a good ratio. And again, as a nutritional therapist, you know that America eats way too many inflammatory foods, mm-hmm. inflammatory oils. So this is another little biomarker that can say, look, we've got to increase. You've either got to start eating a can of sardines every day, mm-hmm. or, and as Max Lugavere says, he likes the can of sardines and he drinks the oil.
Good Lord.
I know, he just chugs the whole thing. I make sardine salad kind of like someone would make tuna salad, but either you're willing to eat a lot more cold water fish, or we're going to supplement. You know, as nutritional therapists, we want to do everything with food first. Where we can remove, replace, repopulate. We've got some really great supplements at our disposal that can give us some great omega-3s. So we do that. And then we retest. Again, like even with the vitamin D, 6 months later, let's retest. Let's see where you are. Have we made any sort of improvements?
It's interesting how many clients come to me and of course, you know, they'll share their labs, and I work with a lot of functional medicine providers locally, which has turned out to be a beautiful relationship because if I need labs drawn, mm-hmm. I just refer them back.
Oh, good.
And I don't get pushback. What's interesting is we have gotten so savvy with our training with regard to supplements that I oftentimes am teaching, sometimes teaching them that you can't just give vitamin D, you've got to give cofactors.
Yes.
And how many of my clients come to me and they're like, I've been on this vitamin D supplement for 6 months, mm-hmm. 12 months, and my values haven't budged.
And
I was like, well,
20s or 30s. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So that's fascinating. But I didn't realize there was that index test. You know, I've been just starting to dip my toe into working with the organics acid test. That's mm-hmm. fascinating, but I think that is going to, the learning curve on that is a little steeper. So I feel
it
like that
steep.
Will take me
yep.
a little, take me a little longer to be able to offer that, and feel 100% confident with my clients. But that even in with myself, I have found out that I just don't digest my fats well, even though I'm taking, you know, I eat lots of gallbladder rich foods, and, you know, my digestive system obviously is probably better optimized than most people's. But that test in particular showed me that I can't have a lot of fat in terms of quantity. It needs to be smaller portions because my body really struggles to break it down. It was fascinating.
Which test was that?
That's the organic acid test.
Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so that was really interesting. And for listeners, there's a lot of amazing information. Even, you know, I'm learning as I'm listening to Leslie this morning. I would love for you to, there are a couple of things. I know I don't want to say we, as in I'm referring to just you and I, but I know as a culture, we're very supplement kind of focused and sometimes savvy, sometimes not. Are there particular supplements you like to recommend to your clients just in generalities for brain health? I know for myself, I think Seraphos or phosphatidylserine is probably my favorite sleep aid, you know, helping support cortisol, helping support mm-hmm. brain function. I jokingly say that should be in the water supply. Now I feel that strongly about it because it really helps so many of my female clients. But I didn't know if you had any particular ones that you really are your favorites or your favorite ones to use.
Going back to gut health also, I want to make sure because a couple of my current male clients are suffering with constipation and mm-hmm. gut dysbiosis, and they've had all kinds of tests to figure out why. So we really want to make sure that I tell everyone, you're going to be on a good quality probiotic for the rest of your life. We'll rotate them. We'll change them out. You know, you're going to have some fermented foods. Yes, we're going to do some kombucha. Yes, but a good probiotic. Especially for the brain, we want to make sure we are getting a good quality omega-3. Mm-hmm. We've got to have that for mitochondrial support. CoQ10 is a great one for our brain support. Loving curcumin, bocopa, even ashwagandha, some of the more adaptogenic herbs. Mm-hmm. When you've got someone who really is in the middle of Alzheimer's suffering, it's very difficult sometimes, well, most of the time, to change their diet.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have a caregiver and a family that's on board, that's willing to say, we are not going to have ice cream and cookies in the house anymore. Mm-hmm. We're going to change out Heinz ketchup, which is full of high fructose corn syrup, mm-hmm. you know, into something else. I'm sorry, someone just buzzed me. I'm going to turn that
That's
over.
Okay.
So those are for sure forever. Biotics research and designs for health and some of those innate, they all make some really lovely brain support supplements, actually designed for brain support. I love also one that's called, I got it here, there's one called Curcuminsorb Mind from Pure Supplements, which is a nice way to get the good curcumin in.
Mm-hmm.
I love something called MitoPQQ, which again is mitochondrial support for the brain. Yeah. I try to get everyone into making a really healthy smoothie once okay. a day that they've got, either it's their breakfast or their lunch. And this is a really great place to put in the quality fats, the coconut milk or MCT oil. This is a good place to slip in the curcumin and cinnamon and mitochondrial support. I love, love Chinese mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
I love the blends of maitake and reishi and lion's mane. They're very protective and anti-tumor for cancer, but they're also very supportive of brain health. So that's a great place to also slip in some Chinese mushrooms.
I love the idea of, you know, just kind of layering in, you know, key ingredients into smoothies. I have a couple pediatric or kid clients, and their parents really struggle to get things into their diets. We have found ways to mm-hmm. get lots of good things into their smoothies, and they have no idea they're having, you know, having all these delicious, nutritious things. They think that their parents are kind of acquiescing only to what they want. But same kind of concept if you're dealing with a family member or a caretaker. I love that.
Well, I have what I call my supplement graveyard over here on my table, and they've all got big X's slashed through them. You probably do the same thing. At some mm-hmm. point in working with you or me, client brings in all their existing supplements, and we read labels. And they don't understand that we don't want folic acid. We want mm-hmm. folate. We don't want mm-hmm. synthetic B12, cyanocobalamin. We want methylcobalamin. We want real ingredients. I have a big bottle of gorgeous looking D3 supplement here that someone bought. And of course, they bought it at Costco, which doesn't mm-hmm. really count. But the first four ingredients were soybean oil, vegetable oh. oil, corn oil, glycerin, and then vitamin D3. And I said, you know, nope, you're not going to take that mm-hmm. ever again. The cofactors are important. So I think also Dr. Bredesen has, in his book, outlined lots of again, his favorite supplements. I think he works with a European supplement company, but we can duplicate everything mm-hmm. that he recommends here. And essential oils. Oh my gosh. Let's not forget essential oils, because essential oils can stimulate the limbic part of the brain. And I love the essential oils. Peppermint is very oxygenating to the brain. If you've got someone who's stumbling over their words or their memory, trying to express themselves, a little breathing of peppermint or a blend. Some of the companies out there make some lovely blends for focus and motivation. I think that has a place also in someone's care.
I think that's so important, because one of the things that I have found as being a open-minded Western medicine, dual-trained functional mm-hmm. functional and nutrition person, is that there's so much more than what we realize that is involved in, you know, homeostasis in the body. Mm-hmm. And when we take the best of both, you know, worlds, can be profoundly transformational. I love the idea of, you know, it's interesting, peppermint in particular in my house. We've only made the mistake once of, with my youngest, we'll never forget that, years ago, that, you know, he was sitting with me and we were going through essential oils and he got some on his hands. He still talks about how it was a hot oil. It's so hot.
Yes.
But very stimulating. Mm-hmm. That's a great way to describe it. But I love your approach, and I know that I speak for Kelly and myself that we would definitely love to have you back again. You're just a wealth of information.
Oh,
and
so kind.
Would love if you could share with our listeners your top suggestions to help support brain health and aging. If you can think of two or three things that are kind of the most important to you in your toolbox and working with your clients and for yourself and your husband.
Well, I think that's probably not just exclusive to brain health, but a non-inflammatory diet, getting all the inflammatory, what we call fake foods, out of your diet. Making sure that you've got really quality sleep. Sleep hygiene, we forget, is so important. Proper amount of time, which can be anywhere from 7 to 9 hours, depending on who you are, kind of going with your circadian rhythm. Dark, cool room. I'm upgrading our drapes as we speak with blackout liners. Detoxification. One thing we didn't talk about was the impact of far infrared sauna. Mm-hmm. I have one in my home, and it was home built. It was really very inexpensive to accomplish, but that detoxing is so important. Exercise, some sort of regular. We find that 150 minutes a week of exercise, broken down into, you can do a little bit of high intensity, you know, the HIIT program.
Yeah,
and,
love
or,
it.
And or if you're just getting out there and dancing, moving, walking is so important. Lots of good quality water, clean water. My old mentor used to say, the elevator won't go to the top floor if you don't drink enough water, which was an expression he used with my mother, but because she didn't like water. But again, blood pressure response to the brain. You want your elevator to go to the top floor, so lots of water. And just clean eating, detoxing, good sleep, exercise, and go from there.
I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you so much for coming on this morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. You can find out more about Cynthia and her work at chtwellness.com. And you can find out more about Kelly and her work at everydaytherapist.com. In addition, if you have questions for us or topics you'd like us to address, please email us at everydaywellnesspodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, be well.